Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Good morning, Dwell Church. My name is John Brockman, Pastor John Brockman here. I serve on the pastoral team, my wife and I. And it's such an honor to come to you today to share on this Sunday, May 24th. Before we jump into our message today, I want to say happy Memorial Day. I want to take a moment here to honor. If we were here in service and in this room, we would have you know, take a moment and we would just honor those who've given their life for our country, who have sacrificed, given the greatest sacrifice of all for our freedom. And on behalf of Dwell Church and the team here, we want to say happy Memorial Day, and we honor you. For those of you who have loved ones who have fought for our country and given their lives for our country, thank you for sharing them with us, giving them to us, and just thank you for your sacrifice as well. So happy Memorial Day. We honor all of those, and we're just so thankful for our freedom. Before we jump in today, I want to pray and just ask God to bless these next few moments as we talk about the spirit of fear, taking off the mask of fear. Holy Spirit, have your way. Say what you want to say. Let it be clear. We declare clarity in the spirit. Let me say what I need to say, and let the people hear what they need to hear, and let change what needs to change. We thank you, Lord, that you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so today we push back. We push back and we say, no more fear, no more fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to share a few scriptures today before we jump in to this message today. I hope I don't keep you long. I'm just gonna run through a few points that I believe Holy Spirit is giving me about taking off the mask of fear. So let me read this scripture, Psalms 46, chapter 1, verse 3. And if you don't hear anything else I say today, I pray that you would hear these few scriptures above all. Psalms 46, chapter 1, verse 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with the surging. There's a lot going on there, but let me go back to the top of that scripture one more time. God is our refuge and strength. He's always there to help in trouble. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. And I love this. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not just any hand, but it's the hand of God. It's the righteous right hand of God that upholds us. Can I get an amen? Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you. I love that God himself goes before us. He doesn't just send someone else to do his job. He does his job and he does it well. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Take that to the bank. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And this last scripture, we prayed this a moment ago. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you, bro. The most common command in the Bible is two words, fear not. Wherever you're watching, just say that. Say, fear not. If you're sitting next to someone, look them in the eye and say, fear not. If you're not sitting with anyone, then text someone right now and just say, fear not. Those two words, fear not, is the most common command in the Bible. But let's be honest, or let me be honest. Let me be vulnerable. Let me be a little authentic here. Let's be honest. Some of us in this season have been scared to death. I remember on March 15th, which was my birthday, driving home after my birthday lunch, getting a call from a friend who had a connection in the White House who says that they're locking down everybody and go to the grocery store, get what you need so you don't have to wait in line. And my mind just went crazy. I rushed to the grocery store. Yes, I bought toilet paper. I bought hand sanitizer. Somehow I got a bottle of Lysol. I bought it, and it was already being drained of everything, the grocery store at that time. And I went and bought all those things out of fear. But yet the most common command God gives us is fear not. But let's be honest, some of us in this season have been scared to death. Can I get an amen? Now realize that fear is a natural human response. You feeling fear, me feeling fear, only validates that we are human. But listen, we are not of this world. The thing you have to understand is when you feel fear, it's okay to feel fear, but it's how you respond to that feeling of fear. Fear can be a good thing. Fear can cause you to slow down when you need to slow down. Fear can cause you to become more aware when you need to be more aware. Fear can make you more cautious, but it's when it causes you to stop. When it causes you to focus on the wrong things, when it causes you to not take the risk that faith is calling you to take, that's when it becomes a problem. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear will cause you to do crazy things, i.e. me going to Kroger and buying them out. But I was thinking back in the Bible, just some crazy things that fear may have caused some people to do. I know for me, Pastor David's texting me. Let me see what he's... Did you? He texted me, fear not. I love it. So Elijah. Elijah's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And talking about how fear will make you do some crazy things. I've shared this scripture before or a message here weeks or months ago called Look Again. And it was about Elijah and Elisha and the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18 when God's bringing the rain, the drought's going away. He calls all the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel, 450 prophets. Fire comes from heaven. He annihilates the prophets. Then he hears the sound of an abundance of rain, and he runs toward it, outruns the chariot, outruns the king, okay? And then we go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Just words, just sentences after that glorious move of God, after the authority and the boldness he walks in, he hears from a messenger from Jezebel, who was his worst enemy and probably his biggest fear. And she sent a messenger to him and said, listen, I'm going to do the same thing to you that you did to my prophets. And Elijah, the same one who called fire down from heaven, the same one who outran chariots, ran for his life. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it says he was so afraid, he ran for his life. And it says he ran because he was in Jezreel. He ran from Jezreel to Beersheba. That's 100 miles. Now, I don't know if he ran the whole way, but running, walking, however he got from there to there, that's a long way. Fear will make you do some crazy things. For us, we get afraid and we buy toilet paper. What is the deal with toilet paper? I feel like this should be on a Seinfeld episode. What is the deal with toilet paper? Like, of all things, if the apocalypse is going down, water, eggs, milk, Rice-a-roni? I don't know. But toilet paper. Let's buy all the toilet paper we can, because my God, if it all hits the fan, I want to get a good, comfortable wipe, right? I don't know what are they planning on doing with all that toilet paper. Why? I think it just started to spur something, because people started seeing toilet paper was running out, and so fear began to rise. So it's like, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this. Fear will make you do some crazy things. I know that's crazy. I still have some toilet paper left from when I bought a bunch a month ago. You have to think back. Think back. Think back and look at all the crazy decisions you've made out of fear. Or decisions you should have never made. Or decisions you should have made sooner. Or decisions you should have waited on. Or fear has caused you to question the decisions you've already made. From the past, you felt the presence of God. You've taken a leap of faith. You've jumped out. You feel his peace. And all of a sudden, fear starts to creep in. And you question, should I have ever jumped? Should I have ever taken that risk? So we want to talk about fear. But before we want to talk about fear, I want to talk about these masks. You got one, I've got one, everybody's got one. Now, I'm not going to preach in this thing, because you can see I sound different, I can't see out of my glasses, and all I smell is my breath right now. And right now it's stuck on my glasses here. Whew. Thank God. Anybody else wear these, and as soon as you get to the car, you take it off, you're like, thank God. I want to talk about these masks. Everywhere we go, we see people wearing these masks. Now, listen, this message is not about take off the mask, stick it to the man, nobody wear the mask. I'm talking about a spiritual mask, but I want to look at the physical mask to help us look at the spiritual mask of fear. When we look around, every time I see someone wearing one of these, I'm reminded of what we're going through. Every time I see one of these, I know many of us wear these for safety, but really we wear these out of fear. Fear of corona, fear of COVID-19. Everywhere you go, in certain counties and states, you are required to wear these. If you have a place of business, a salon, if you work at a grocery store, what as the government is opening back up, they're setting stipulations that you have to wear these for safety. But to me, every time I see these, I'm reminded of the fear that is plaguing not just our nation, but the nations. Fear is not just plaguing us, but it's paralyzing our communities and our world. Think about it. Everyone has to wear these because just in Collin County, let's look at Collin County here in North Dallas. Over 1 million people live here in our county. 1 million, almost 1.1 million. And of the 1.1 million, almost 1.1 million that live here, there are a little over 900 cases. 1%, almost 1% of our county has COVID-19. And of that 1%, maybe 4% of that 1% have passed away. Now, I'm not saying this disease is not real and it's not affecting people. A lot of people are getting it and they're dying, but more people are getting it and recovering. But what these, CNN and Fox and MSNBC have grabbed onto this fear, and they're producing fear. And now we wear these masks for safety or because of fear. I'm not worried about so many people getting corona, but I'm more worried about so many people being strangled by the spirit of fear. You in this season have had moments where you thought, am I taking deep breaths? Do I have a fever? Is that a cough? Is it my allergies? Oh God, I'm gonna die. I haven't even made a will yet. I've been there. I've lost sleep over this because I have allowed fear to come in and begin to strangle me, paralyze me, manipulate me, lie to me, and I've believed it. But today, listen, I encourage you, follow the outline of our government. But at the same time, in the spirit, take off your mask. In the spirit, take off the mask. We cannot be afraid of the unknowns. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we have to know who holds tomorrow. We can't be afraid of the what ifs. God is calling us to risk it all. How do you spell faith? R-I-S-K, risk. It requires risk, but we're pushing back against the spirit of fear. What is fear? Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's essentially virtual reality. I remember riding back in the day, I think it was Hollywood Studios or MGM, I don't know. I was a little kid and my dad took me to one of these rides. It was called Back to the Future. Some of my kids don't know what Back to the Future is, but if you know what Back to the Future is, say amen. Okay, we got some older folk in here. Back to the Future had this ride, which was a virtual reality ride. It was a new ride. You get in this car, you get in what they call a DeLorean, and it takes you to the past, to the present, and the future. And we got in that thing. Now, you understand, I was a little kid, so I fit perfectly in that ride. But my dad is 6'6", and he's high-waisted. And when he got in that ride, that pushed his knees up to his ears. And he struggles with motion sickness, but he got on that ride because he's a good, good father. And he wanted to help his son have a good time. But we got on that ride, and because of the movement and what we saw, it made us feel like we were in the Western times, and then there were dinosaurs that were trying to get us. Then we were going to the future, and we were shooting at spaceships, and all of a sudden, about 10 minutes after it jarred us everywhere and took us to so many worlds and miles around the universe, it stops, and we get out of the ride, and you look back, and you realize you didn't go anywhere. Virtual reality is a lot like fear. It jars you, it puts vision, and it feels real, but that doesn't mean it is real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And as humans, we think the worst. Let's be honest. When I walk into a room I've never been in before, and it's dark, I'm thinking Freddy Krueger's in there in a recliner waiting to get me as soon as I turn the lights on, right? They were like, who's Freddy Krueger? But listen, but when you flip the lights on, you realize not many of us go into that room and it may be dark and think, there's $1 million in here and I can't wait to turn on the lights. Not many of us think that. We don't tend to think positive. We're more worried about more people think they're going to get lucky enough to get the corona than they are to win the lottery. Right? So every time we go out, we see these masks, we wear these masks, and to me, it reminds me of the fear that's plaguing the nations. Now, again, I'm not telling you to take the physical mask off. That's between you and the Lord and our government. I wear these as much as I can. But if we look at this mask as a sign of fear, this mask affects us, in my eyes, the same way fear can affect us. When we wear these masks in the spirit, and I hope you're jiving with me, you're following with me. Listen, when I wear this mask, it affects my ability to smell. If just a second ago, as I was wearing it, all I could smell was the Chick-fil-A sandwich I had about an hour ago. If you had broccoli for lunch and then you decide to go to Home Depot, guess what? For those few moments in Home Depot and you're wearing this mask, guess what you're going to smell? Not the fresh smell of wood and pine and sawdust and all those other kind of woods. I'm not going to try to name woods because I don't know the names of them. But you know what I'm saying? You don't get to smell those things. Guess what? You get to smell your broccoli. You get to smell your own breath. It affects your ability to breathe. The other day I went into Home Depot and this thing was just bugging me and my breath was hurting my feelings. I decided to go to the aisle of wood. That's all I know it to be. At Home Depot, I dropped that mask and it smells so good. And you know, this affects our ability to smell. I was studying this. You see, smell is, by scientist standards, the most sensitive sense we have that is linked to our memory and feelings. Smell, greater than hearing, greater than touch, greater than taste, greater than all the senses, smell triggers your memories more than any other sense. So it is important that when you face fear, you remember to breathe. You remember to remember. Do not forget. Remember all the times God showed up. Remember, as Tanner was saying earlier, and as we were singing about earlier, remember your history with God. But fear will come in and will affect your ability to breathe and give you spiritual amnesia and have you so focused on what could happen and how it could kill you or hurt you when you forget your history with God and how he's going to show up again and do it again and do it again. Can I get an amen? Psalms 103 verses 1 through 5 says, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Listen, and forget not all his benefits. Don't get spiritual amnesia. Don't forget all his benefits. And he goes on to list. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't forget to breathe. Don't let fear affect your ability to breathe. These masks or fear affects your ability to eat. You cannot wear a mask and eat. You could maybe drink a milkshake and shove the straw up through there, but you cannot wear this mask and eat. Not only have some of us become have spiritual amnesia, but some of us have become spiritually anorexic. We have forgotten to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34, verse 8. In John chapter 6, it says, Jesus is the bread of life. We are to eat of him, eat of his word. When's the last time that you spent as much time in the word as you did contemplating what Corona could do to you or COVID could do to you or how you could lose your job and how you could lose your house? Not that those things aren't real and aren't important, but his word is more important. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus is the bread of life. Spiritually, we have to feast on his word. His word will directly push back the spirit of fear. Renew your mind. Taste and see. Eat of his word. Not only do we have to eat spiritually, but I also want to challenge you to eat physically. Now, some of us are probably eating too much during this time. I have probably, you know, there's the freshman 20, and I think I've gained the COVID 15. I think I've put on some weight. But some of us in fear, We get so afraid. And some of us, I heard Banning say this at a conference we were at. Never underestimate the power of a good meal and a good nap. Never underestimate the power of a good meal and a good nap. As I was talking about Elijah earlier, how he was so full of fear that he ran for his life. He ran from Jezreel to Beersheba 100 miles. And then he sat and he's like, I just want to die. And he collapsed. He fell asleep. But here's what happened. An angel touches him and says, get up and eat. Get up and eat. And there was fresh bread baking over coals and a jar of water. And he ate. Man, what does it taste like when an angel bakes you bread? What does it taste like when an angel pours you a jar of water? And then he went back to sleep and he woke up and he ate again. And he said, this food has strengthened me. And then he went on a journey for 40 days and 40 nights. And there he goes to the mountain of Horeb. And he goes into a cave to sleep, and that's where he meets with God and gets his marching orders. I believe that Elijah would have never got to Horeb if he wouldn't have took a nap and eaten a good meal. I want to challenge you today. Some of what we need to do, yes, is read his word, but sometimes some of you just need a good nap and a good meal. When was the last time you had a good nap and a good meal? Let's go back to kindergarten, baby. 1 hour a day, let's lay down and refocus. Sleep will help you. A good meal will help you. This is good. Fear affects your ability to breathe. Fear affects your ability to eat. Or this mask not only affects my ability to breathe and eat, but it affects my sound. I start to sound like Snoopy's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Mumbling. There's many times my wife and I or my children and I have been in the store and we're talking to one another, but we can't fully understand. Just like this mask, fear covers your mouth and attempts to turn your declaration into a mumble. Psalms 47 doesn't say, mumble unto God with a voice of triumph, but shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Mumbling is what kept the Israelites in the wilderness 40 years longer than what they were supposed to be. Fear's goal is to silence you, but it's time for the church to take off your mask of fear and with clarity and boldness, release your sound, have a stance, and make your declaration. Pastor David talks about it a lot, that angels take heed to the sound of his voice. And he said he is convinced that many of our angels are bored because we say nothing. Where or what has fear kept you from declaring over yourself, over your home, over your job, over your future, over our nation? The birth of the church in Acts 2, which we will celebrate next Sunday, started with a suddenly sound from heaven. A suddenly sound from heaven came in and filled the room. And then we see that the church was accelerated. Joshua, after walking around the wall 7 times on the 7th day in silence, told the Israelites to shout, for God has given them the city. Shabak, to shout. Shout and declare with clarity what God has called you to speak. This is good. So fear affects your ability to breathe. It affects your ability to eat. It affects your sound. And as you saw earlier, let me do it one more time. For those of us who wear glasses and attempt to wear these masks, the struggle is real. Right now, all I see is nothing, just fog. And I want to tell you, fear fogs your vision. Fear affects your vision. Fear affects how you see what God has called you to see. Instead of seeing through eyes of faith, we now see through eyes of fear. The glass is half empty now when it was half full. You have Elijah and then you have Elisha. Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6 here, we see, let me pull it up here. I'm actually going to do it on my iPad because I pulled out my Bible from college, but then I'm 41 and I'm like trying to read it now. So I've got it in bolder text here on my iPad. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, the king of Aram, is just frustrated at Elisha. Elisha knows their every move because God is revealing it to him. And the king of Aram is frustrated, finds out where Elisha the servant is, sends soldiers and chariots, the Bible says, a strong force to go and kill Elisha. And the servant sees that this strong force is coming into this town where they are in Dothan, and he knows that they are there to kill him. And the servant is terrified. He is saying, oh, my Lord, there in verse 15, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? And what does Elisha say in verse 16? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed. And this is my prayer for you today. Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And then as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. Now he's able to strike that strong force with blindness. This whole story is crazy. I encourage you to go back and read it. But Elisha's word to his servant is his word to us. Don't be afraid. Let our eyes be open to see that there are more that are with us than there are more than there are with them. That we may feel like we're surrounded, but we're really surrounded by a heavenly host, by a heavenly force. So fear may affect your vision, but you have to see things through the eyes of faith. See things through the eye of his word. It affects your vision. Do you see what I see? Well, it depends who's asking. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who's speaking into you right now? Who's encouraging you right now? Are they feeding your faith or are they feeding your fear? I want to encourage you today to spiritually take off the mask of fear. It's not what this crisis, this corona pandemic or plandemic, however you choose to view it. It is a crisis. And it's not what this crisis is causing, but it's what this crisis is uncovering. If I could have Kevin or the musicians come up. This crisis is uncovering the trueness of our hearts that we've hidden behind through our positions, our jobs, our money, our busyness. But a lot of that has been stripped away, and we want to blame that we don't have a job. We want to blame that we don't have money. We want to blame that we don't have position. But listen, those aren't the issues. And really, I'm wondering if fear is really the issue when at the core of it, it's a trust issue. Who do you trust in? This season is exposing the real trueness of, do we trust God? Do we trust him when these things are taken away? Do we trust him when there's uncertainty of the future? Do we trust him when we go out in public and we risk our life and those around us every day? He's exposing us. I think a lot of times it's like God has taken us into a dressing room and there's mirrors everywhere and the lights are revealing, and it's just like, oh, I don't know if I like what I see. Did I ever trust you, God? Or did I trust my job? Did I ever trust you, God? Or did I trust money? Did I ever trust you, God? Or did I really trust my comfort? But all these things have been taken away and it's being revealed. Did I ever trust you in the first place? The opposite of fear is faith. And in order to have faith in God, we have to trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Fear is not your problem. Trust is your problem. Do you have trust issues? Are you trusting in him with all your heart? Are you leaning on him, depending on him, even when you don't understand? Have you acknowledged him? The reason a lot of us have trust issues is because somewhere down the line, something or someone hurt you or let you down. Something or someone broke what was innocent, what was pure. You ever met someone and you thought, who did this to you? Was it your daddy? Was it your mommy? Was it your friend? Was it your pastor? Who hurt you? You ever met someone like that? Why are you so defensive? Why are you so weird? Who did this to you? I want to tell you that, as we read earlier, he will never leave you nor forsake you. There in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. He even says he himself goes before you. We've said all those scriptures to get us started in this message today of breaking and tearing off the mask of fear. God can heal those broken trust issues today. But God can only take what is surrendered. He's not going to take it from you. He wants you to give it to him. He wants you to give it to him and say, it is yours. Or maybe today, you've just never fallen in love with Jesus. Have you fallen in love with him? Is he your first love? Is he the only thing that matters? Or have you allowed fear to distract you? 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. We said it earlier in the service, I believe, there in verse 19 in 1 John chapter 4. He first loved us. He's waiting on you today. I want to tell you, you can trust him. His word is true. You can trust him today. Love changes everything. So I want to ask you, is fear controlling you, manipulating you? You're either operating in fear or in faith, and those are a lot alike. Fear and faith are essentially the same thing. It's acting on something that has not happened yet, but yet fear and faith produce different results. They're the same thing, but they give you different results. What results are you looking for? Are you believing in what isn't real through fear? Are you believing what hasn't happened yet through faith and trust that God will do what he said he will do? Is he Jehovah Jireh? Trust him and find out. As we said earlier, how smell affects, it's the sense that is more linked than any other sense to our memories, to smell and remember. Remember the goodness of God. Remember all the times he's brought you through. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never let you down. If you are down, he picks you up out of the pit. He sets your feet on a rock. Scripture after scripture, promise after promise tells us of his goodness. So today, if you're struggling with fear, be honest. We're human. Fear only validates that you are human, and it shows you only God can do this. God can do it, and he will do it. If John does it, he has to sustain it. And you don't want John to sustain it. It won't last. But when I feel that fear and I depend on him, it just shows me he's got to do this. He's got to make the impossible possible. He has to make a way where there is no way. He even told the disciples there in the gospel, it would be easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for that man to get into heaven. But then he says, but with God, with man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You can't contradict that. With God, all things are possible. All. So if you're battling fear today, let's step into this process. Let's step into this decision. Let's step into this moment to say, God, I'm going to take a deep breath and remember. I'm going to dig in your word. I'm going to taste and see that you are good. I'm going to open my mouth and make declaration and through faith say things that I see in the spirit. And then I'm going to, see my notes here, have vision to choose to see things through your eyes. See that you have plans to prosper me, not to harm me, a hope and a future. So we step into that today. If that's you, just say, God, I choose faith. I choose you. I'm going to trust you. That's where it all starts. I'm going to trust you. The process of trust. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You just take a step. You may not know what the whole journey looks like, but just take a step. Take it day by day, moment by moment. Push back against this fear. Because why? Because the promise says God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I see a bold generation rising up. Dwell Church, I see us more bold and with authority. Come on, rising up, pushing back against this spirit of fear and stirring up the gift of God that is inside of us. If I can, through this screen right now, just lay my hands on you. Just put your hand on the screen or your hand on the phone and just receive this impartation. I stir up the gift of God inside of you. What has been laid dormant because of fear, what has been hidden because of fear is now rising to the surface, and you are more than a conqueror. Walk in it, son. Walk in it, daughter. This is your time. Follow Jesus and don't look back. Don't look back. I bless you today. I love you today. And I can't wait to see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.